Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd of the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky. And I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome you to another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. This broadcast is for Friday, February 17th. And I do hope you're enjoying a good week thus far. And I want to let you know that I'm making this recording ahead of time because my wife and I are headed to the state of North Carolina as this broadcast will be playing. And we've got a nephew getting married on this Saturday. So my wife and I are going to be out of town through Tuesday. We'll be getting back in sometime Tuesday night next week. So I hope you will enjoy the broadcast in these days in our absence, but we're just continuing on what we started this week, preaching there on the scripture there in John chapter 5 and the fact that our Lord had great respect for the Word of God. Our Lord's attitude, or I say the attitude of Christ toward the scriptures. And I'm trying to encourage the saints of God, particularly that they might believe their Bible, even have confidence in their Bible. And as I'm making these broadcasts week by week now and taking one sermon and breaking it down into a five-day broadcast, one of the things that I'm doing, some of you have noticed, is that I may be repeating quite a bit of it, especially towards the end of the week. But what I'm doing is I'm trying to hit the major points. And so we're reminding you of that, rehearsing that. And then each day, there'll be a part of that that might be replayed. But each day, there's an additional part that's played as well. And you'll be able to see the next point, maybe the next couple of points, as it moves along. I hope these are a blessing to you. Well, we're going to go ahead and move right along into prayer time. It is time to call on the Lord in prayer. So would you pray with us at this time? Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for your blessings in our life. I want to tell you that I love you and thank you for loving me. Lord, I pray that you'll bless this broadcast. Lord, I pray that you'll bless it. We'll have a good weekend. I do pray that you'll bless the wedding as Boo, we call him Barry Jr., and Katie get married. I pray you bless that young couple. And Father, I pray you'll bless the church here at Island Ford Baptist Church. Bless and use Brother Hall as he preaches on Sunday morning, and Brother Bale as he preaches on Sunday night. Father, I pray you'll anoint and give liberty and unction and power those men of God, and you'll use them in a mighty way. Now, Lord, I pray you put your anointing on this broadcast as well. Use it for your glory. Accomplish the work you want to get done. Lord, I pray bring sinners to Christ. Saints be strengthened and encouraged and drawn closer to the Lord as well. Father, I pray that you just meet the need. And, dear God, that you'd get the glory. Would you give my wife and I safety as we travel back? Lord, I pray for those that are sick and afflicted. And I pray, dear God, you'd touch them as well and just meet every need. And, dear God, you get the glory. And, Lord, I pray that you'd have your way now with the broadcast. Help us, dear God, to love our Bibles. Help us to have a reverence and a respect and a reliance upon our Bible. Father, help us not to give in to the snares of the devil and the way that the world's going today in which they're questioning the scriptures and trying to quote unquote correct the scriptures rather than letting the scriptures question us or correct us. Lord, correct us through the word and you get the glory. We'll pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, I appreciate you praying with us. We're going to go right into a song by my mother-in-law. We get a lot of requests for this. And it's a good song, a cappella singing, a song entitled Bubbling, and I hope that it is a blessing to your heart. All right, I hope that song was a blessing to you, and if you will, be turning now to the book of St. John, chapter number 5. St. John, chapter number 5, is where we'll be taking our text reading for the message that we're going to be bringing today. And when you found your place, we're going to be going into the live broadcast as it was recorded at the Island Ford Baptist Church right here in Madisonville, Kentucky.
John chapter 5, verse 39, the Bible reads this way, the words of our Lord. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. I want to try to preach on this topical thought, on the attitude of Christ toward the scriptures. We're not told a lot about the early life of our Lord, but there's only one little glimpse, and that one little glimpse of our Lord tells us something about what the scriptures meant to him, even as a young man, 12 years old. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Jesus had an adoration and admiration of those scriptures. Our Lord, he had a great understanding of those scriptures. This little boy knew the scriptures. He knew them well. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. 30 years have passed. He's a young man now. He had spent his early life reading in private. So now he's ready to read in public. I have reason to believe that our Lord's attitude during that first great preparatory season and period of his life was one of being a delightful and reverent student of the Word of God. Now, the second period of his life there in the temptation, again, is found in Luke chapter 4. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us a whole lot about it, but it does say that our Lord came forth triumphant. Amen. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us very plainly that obviously our Lord was one that knew very well how to handle the sword of the Spirit and do battle with the devil. He learned that having a daily portion of the Scripture, a delight in the Scripture, a devouring of the Scripture. Amen. But here's something that I read. I had seen it when I was studying and preached on the radio through the temptation of Christ. That all the answers our Lord gave the devil, there's three scriptures that he used. You know they all came from the book of Deuteronomy. Three scriptures out of the book of Deuteronomy. But here's the part that I didn't see. They all come from Deuteronomy chapter 6, 7, or 8 in that little frame. In other words, all the answers can probably be found on one page of your King James Bible. Everything the devil had to... The Lord said, look here, devil. Look here, devil. Look here, devil. He never had to turn a page. It's all right there in the Scriptures. Matter of fact, I could say it this way. In one day's Bible reading, he had the answers to defeat the devil. Amen. Praise God. Amen. What a blessing that is that he had devoted himself, that he had dedicated himself as well to reading that Bible, and the Scriptures were there. I'm saying to you, our Lord had an attitude toward the Scripture. What was his attitude? His early attitude in his early days was a devotion to it and a reverence for it. Now he's got the attitude of complete confidence in the Word of God. But he didn't just have complete confidence. He had complete dependence. He's not standing on anything else. He didn't say, well, the Bible said and Daddy said. Well, the Bible said and Mama said. Well, the Bible said and the preacher said. Well, the Bible said and the president. Oh, no. He said, I've got confidence in what the Bible says. That's all I need. Amen. Doesn't matter what the college professor says. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. What the Bible says, that's what matters. And he had confidence. So he'd been a reverent student. Now he's a ready soldier. He's got confidence in his sword. Then I think about his public ministry. Now, we've talked about his early days and then the temptation. He enters into his ministry. I want to think about what our Lord's attitude towards the Scriptures were then. What's he going to do when it comes his time to teach men? Well, I'll tell you what he does. He takes the Scriptures. In Matthew chapters number 5, 6, and 7, there's that great Sermon on the Mount. Some of the commentators say Jesus lays Moses in the shade. Jesus invalidates everything Moses said. Oh, no. He didn't come to do away with the law. Matter of fact, the same Jesus standing on the mount that he's preaching this sermon was the same God on Mount Sinai that thundered those words to start with. Amen. He's the same God. He hadn't changed his mind. He wasn't hiding Moses in the shade. No, he is shining light on the shadowy parts that Moses had written. Our Lord took these scriptures and opened them up. In his public ministry, our Lord made it plain that he believed the histories of the Old Testament. He just told the story about Jonah swallowed by the whale. Because he believed it. Amen. He never called into question the history of the Old Testament. He expected them to be entirely true. Here's what our Lord said. He said, Moses spoke of me. What's he talking about? He's talking about the book of Deuteronomy. He's talking about the Pentateuch, the whole five books. He said Moses was talking about me. So Jesus believed that Moses wrote that book. He didn't deny that Moses wrote that book. Amen. But he quoted from almost all the historical books of the Old Testament. He talks about Daniel, he talks about Jeremiah, he talks about Isaiah, and he talks about Jonah. And he talks about them and confirms every word of the writings of Isaiah and Jonah and Daniel. Amen. In other words, our Lord recognizes the dependableness of that Old Testament, the truth of its historical accounts. Our Lord even accepted all the miracles. Noah's flood, our Lord recognized it as real. He talked about Noah's day. He didn't say, now you know the fable of Noah. No, he said, you know about Noah. When he talks about Jonah and back that swallowed by a whale, boy, that'd be miraculous. But our Lord didn't deny that. Our Lord didn't call that into question. He just recognized it as a historical thing. Those miracles really happened. The manna that fell from heaven fed those children of Israel all that time. Our Lord just accepted that. He said, you've heard about the manna from heaven. Now I'm the real bread from heaven. Amen. Our Lord talks about Naaman the Syrian, that he was cured of his leprosy. You remember that? He dipped in the Jordan River. Our Lord spoke about those things. He spoke about the woman, the widow at Zarephath that had the meal barrel that never run dry. Our Lord spoke about that widow. He didn't bring into question whether or not that miracle ever happened. He just recognized it as being real. Our Lord recognized and depended upon, relied upon the verbal accuracy of our Bible. He knew that Old Testament was right. He believed the history. He even believed the verbal accuracy of these words. Matter of fact, Matthew chapter 22, he deals with a phrase that David uses in a psalm where he's talking about the Lord being my Lord. And he cues in on those words, the words of one of the psalms that they call into question. And our Lord says this at the end of Matthew 22. He said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures nor the power of God. Amen. I'm telling you, our answer for all of our problems are on the pages of this book. There's this fourth section, this time of his supreme sorrow, the garden and the cross, if I could use it that way, particularly on the cross. In that time, all along that way, the Scriptures were large in our Lord's life. I think there's things hidden in there, and I'm not going to try to pull those out and bring those out tonight, but all through the Scriptures. You remember in that, as they had what we call the Last Supper, the Lord's Supper, and they broke the bread and they drank the fruit of the vine, and as they were leaving that upper room, the Bible says they sang a hymn and they departed. All that was fulfilling the Scriptures. As they're marching by that mountain and they're headed by the Mount of Olives, they're headed to the Garden of Gethsemane, and our Lord mentions a verse that's quoted from the book of Zechariah, and I mentioned that when I preached in some of that a little bit ago, some time back, that I believe our Lord had all those, the places had meaning in His mind because of the Scriptures. And these things were brought back to Him, and He quoted these things from the Scriptures. But while He's there on the cross, the Psalms are much on our Lord's heart and much on our Lord's lips. The Psalms come forth from our Lord over and over in His time on the cross. And I say this, Psalms is where you'll find yourself. The human experience is portrayed in the Psalms. But can I tell you, if the Psalms ever fit any human life, it fit the Lord's life. Oh yeah, it fit our Lord's life to a T. And Calvary is portrayed in numerous of the Psalms. Matter of fact, many of the things that our Lord said came from the Psalms. I believe we hear Him speaking from Psalm 69. When on the cross, the Bible says this, John, I believe, pens it this way. He said, in order that the Scriptures might be fulfilled, they gave Him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall. That's a quote from Psalm 69. And verse number 21 says, they gave me vinegar to drink and meat, a gall for my meat, or something along that line. And so it's been prophetically quoted. When Jesus cried, I thirst, He did so that the Scriptures would be fulfilled, knowing that that's what they're going to offer, and that's what the Scriptures had promised. And so these things were on our Lord's heart. Even as He's given His life, a vicarious death, His atoning blood was being shed for us and marching towards those darkest hours of His life. Yet the Scriptures were near to His heart. when his grief was the deepest, deeper than any words can tell. Matter of fact, his grief was so deep that the earth rocked and reeled and almost came off of its axis and fell apart, because the Creator and the Sustainer of this planet was dying on the cross for the sins of men. When that time took place, our Lord, in His mind, went to Psalm 22 in verse number 1. And He pulled out those words, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? I personally believe that our Lord probably quoted that whole psalm from the cross. I believe that it would be appropriate and that He had done that. But all through that 22nd psalm, our Lord had lived that scripture. He had lived those verses right up to His last breath when He cried, "It is finished." But His last words came from the Psalms as well. When our Lord made this statement, and He said, "Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit." It's found in Luke 22, verse 46. The Bible says, "And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up the ghost." Did you know that phrase came out of the Psalms as well? Psalm 31, verse number 5 says, "Into Thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth." And then the last thing is His risen life. What was our Lord's attitude towards the Scripture after He'd gotten up from the grave? Our Lord reaffirmed, after His resurrection, all that He'd ever said about the Scriptures before His resurrection. Some of those German critics, they'll say this. They'll say, "Well, now, you know, in our Lord's life, He was just a man. And it was in the limited understanding that a man has is why that he believed those scriptures. He accepted things that were not really true. He accepted them because it had been taught him." And they say, so in the limit, listen, friend, there's got to be a screw loose up there somewhere. Amen. Something, the parts are not fitting together and working. The wheels are not hitting all the cogs, or something ain't working right for you to believe something as silly as that. But here's our Lord. He's proven not only that He's a man, that He can die, but He's proven He's much more than a man in that He can rise from the dead in His own power. Amen. And so here He is in that divinity. Matter of fact, that's what Thomas, when he saw Him, he said, "My Lord and my God." That's what he said. Amen. He sees Jesus as more than a man. So now He's on the earth for 40 days. More than a man, does He say, "All right, fellas, listen, I got to clear up some things. Jonah didn't get swallowed by no whale. I got to clear up some things. Noah's flood was just a localized flood. Our Lord didn't do any of that." That's silly. I'm glad you're laughing about it, because it's silly for people to believe. The Scriptures tell us what our Lord did. You know what He did? He just reaffirmed everything that He'd ever said about the Scriptures. Luke chapter 24, this is right after our Lord's resurrection. He meets up with these two on the road to Emmaus, and they're all upset. "And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all the things that had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus Himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holding that they should not know Him. And He said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto Him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem? Hast thou not heard the things which has come to pass in these days? And He said unto them, What things? And they said unto Him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet mighty indeed and word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered Him to be condemned to death and have crucified Him. But we trusted that it had been He which should have redeemed Israel. Besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of the company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulcher, and when they found not His body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that He was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulcher and found it even so as the women had said. but him they saw not. Look at verse 25. And he said unto them, now these are strong words, O fools and slow of heart. What were they foolish about? Here he tells them. And slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. He didn't say, all you fools are deluded because you believe the Bible. No, he said, you fellas are fools because you don't believe the Bible. He didn't condemn them. He didn't use those harsh words because they believed too much. He condemned them and used harsh words because they didn't believe enough. He said, you should have believed it all. That's what he said, A-double-L. What's our Lord's attitude toward the Scriptures? You're foolish if you don't believe all of it. Here's a saying, I wrote this down, I don't know where it came from, but it says, fear not to believe the Bible, but fear not to believe the Bible.
And that concludes our sermon for today's broadcast and for this week, a sermon entitled, The Attitude of Christ Toward the Scriptures. Friend, he believed the Bible, and you and I can as well. Amen. They may make fun of us for believing the Bible, but we have no reason whatsoever to fear believing our Bible. Amen. All right, well, I hope you have a great weekend this week. This is Pastor Farrell Shepherd saying thanks for listening. And tune back in on Monday as we'll have another Sending Forth the Light radio broadcast. Until then, may God bless you is our prayer.